early stages of this Dusty May story, and obviously for Michigan fans, it absolutely sucks to have a coach that came in and get the program to where it was on top of the college basketball world to win a national championship in year two as a young guy. You know, it felt like you had it up and running and it was going to be this way for a while. The roster they put together for next year is exceptionally good. But after there have been public confirmations by Ward Manuel that a contract terms had been agreed upon, apparently a new contract hadn't gotten signed. They already had ripped up one contract and signed him to a deal after Indiana made a run at him. And now the Mavericks made a run at him. Source told me that Dusty May cited that it was a growing problem with college athletics and college basketball. And so take it for what it's worth. What it really comes down to now, well, there's a bunch of things. I guess it's not one thing that crystallized. It sucks for Michigan. What do they do next? Secondly is, you know, is there any culpability here? Like, did Dusty May have a contract that he verbally agreed to sitting on his desk, said, yeah, I'm going to sign that, and then just never sign it? Just said, no, I don't. And, you know, or were there any indications that he was going to do this and there was no response from Michigan? And, you know, again, there'll be further reporting on this. I know that people are quick to point fingers at Ward Manuel, and there's a reason why you wait to see how these things actually played themselves out, because maybe Ward did everything he could. Dusty was either following a dream or simply could not match the money, which can happen with the professional game because they can just offer way more money.
Well, it can, but I mean, how long ago did he agree to this deal to stay at Michigan?
So I don't know when Ward exactly said it. This Ward side of the story, but he said it a while ago. And again, the question is, why didn't it get signed? And I think it's a very important question that I want to answer before we really pass judgment if there's culpability here, because there might be. 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump, we do it every Monday. Get your Champ and Chump votes in. Champ and Chump of the weekend. Who had the best weekend? Who should be called out? Had a whole bunch of stuff. Once the Brady Tkachuk trade went down, it felt like that was a bit of a template set for the possibility that Dylan Larkin could get that or something similar to that, likely even more. But we'll see how that plays itself out. If Brady Tkachuk gets three first-rounders and a second-rounder, it feels like Larkin, who's under contract for a longer period of time, a very team-friendly contract, just feels like that's something that should be able to fetch probably more.
I think definitely more. I think they're different players. Larkin and Tkachuk are different players, and you know, as a hockey player is concerned, Larkin is technically a better player. He plays both ends of the ice. He's just not as physical as Tkachuk is. But Dylan's a very, very good player. I think in a couple of years, Red Wing fans are going to there's going to be some rueing that they let it get to this situation where where Dylan Larkin goes somewhere else. I think we're going to miss out on him, unfortunately. But at the same time, you tell yourself he asked to leave and he wanted out. How do his teammates respond? You know, the guys are left here. How does Mo Sider, Lucas Raymond, how do these guys respond to it? Simon Edmondson, Alex DeBrincat. You know, are they going to welcome the challenge? You know, hey, that means new leadership on this team. Is gonna let somebody else lead the way. And does that mean for better futures for this team? Plus, what do they get in return? I hope it's way more than just draft capital, because I want this team is, you know, they were good enough to just miss the playoffs again. This is the same story we've seen for 3 or 4 years, whatever it is, which is brutal, that they're good enough to just miss out in the playoffs. And can they get players and can they address free agency to the point where they improve this roster to be a better team than what they were a year ago? Like, you're counting on players to get better themselves, but also if you bring in new blood, if they bring in a defenseman, it's a stay-at-home defenseman, all of a sudden it makes you better on the blue line. You're giving up fewer goals. You have a better chance to win. If you can bring in a player in your to add to this roster that's a, you know, a bottom six forward, but they're more of a proven scorer, you're scoring more goals. I mean, there are ways to make this team better in this offseason to compete for the playoffs. Probably not a Stanley Cup, but at least to compete for the playoffs and give yourself an upward trajectory with younger players that are going to be introduced throughout the season.
248-539-9797. There also is a report today that is reasonably big news. Shams Charania of ESPN said that Boston and Miami are both the two teams bidding on Giannis Antetokounmpo, and as it stood this morning, there was no third team involved, which would mean that Tyler Hero to Detroit to help facilitate this trade, which had been reported so much and rumored, and there was all kinds of talk about Tyler Hero is going to end up in Detroit. Apparently, that is now further from happening rather than closer to happening, according to Shams. So, a whole bunch going on. 248-539-9797. Let's go to William in Ann Arbor. You're on 97.1. Hello, William.
Hey, Doug and Gator. I am really upset at Dusty, only because of the timing. It's obviously his right to do whatever he needs to do,
yep,
best his family. But his quote very directly a month ago, Doug, and you're right, we need to see what happens, was basically the contract is done. It was done when we shook hands. We're just nailing down a final few terms. I'm going to sign it in July. There's a video of that. It is all over the internet if you Google it. And those are his words. Mm-hmm. So you're right. What happened between now and then? But leaving now, if you look when he signed with Michigan, he signed on March 24th of 2024. Whoever we get in here, it's going to take at least a few weeks, right? I mean, minimally. You're bringing somebody in mid-July. The program is now in chaos. And I wish he had just not been committal following the win. But what he did is he said all the things he needed to say to put him in position, if he wanted to stay, to have the best possible roster, and then still gave himself the opportunity to take an NBA job. Very selfish, very disappointing, if that's in fact what ends up happening.
And okay, let me go back. First of all, these are some good points. The timing is terrible. The timing is really, really bad.
Well, the timing is the end of the NBA season.
But it probably coincided with the beginning of the NBA's offseason. So you can understand why maybe an offer didn't come. But to wait that long to sign the contract, it does beg the question, why?
Could have taken the Chicago job, though, right? The NBA season for some teams ended a while ago. And that Chicago job was open. So, again, he took a great job where he's got Cooper Flagg, and he's got the ninth pick, and he's got a later first-round pick, and he's got some Kyrie that's left in him there. That's a much better situation, you have to agree, than the Chicago situation.
But if the Chicago situation, if the Dallas offer didn't come in until recently, I mean, and he could have said no to Chicago and waited for a better offer. There are some good points there. I mean, you make up some very compelling points, William, and I do want to know why the contract didn't get signed. Why a contract that was verbally agreed to?
Well, if he says he's planning on signing in the middle of July, you know what else it does? It tells the NBA, you got some time here to make your best pitch to get me to come on board.
Yep. Let's go to Steve in Northville. You're next. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I got a champ and a chump, and I'm going to start out with my chump, and it's come up quite a few times today. Ward Manuel, for some reason or other, he lets a lot get away. Okay?
Yep.
I also want to bring up some name that hasn't come up yet. His name is Mark Cuban. Now, Mark engineered the deal, which I considered the biggest snake job of all time, by stealing and whole team.
We lost you there for a sec. By stealing what?
Kurt Cignetti.
All right, Steve, your phone's killing
you. He's got an Indiana connection. He took Cignetti and his whole team away from James Madison. So now he's behind the Dusty May deal, obviously, because he owns the Mavericks.
He doesn't own the Mavericks.
No.
Well, he did, and I think he still has.
He has some stake.
He has some stake in it, but he's no longer involved in those decisions, because I don't think he was too happy that Luka Doncic was traded.
And as far as what happened with the Cignetti thing, coaches take players with them when they leave programs like that.
Right.
That is not Mark, like it, well, but that's.
I mean, is Mark Cuban a backer of Indiana Athletics? Absolutely. Yes. He's unabashed about it. He's more than willing to tell you that he paid to get the quarterback.
He's going to support Indiana Athletics. Yeah. Huh. 248-539-9797. More of your phone calls and feedback. Coming up, more of your Champ and Chump votes. 97.1. Doug Kosh, Scott Anderson, 97.1, 248-539-9797. Let's get back to your open line calls. John is in Detroit and next. Hello, John.
Hi.
What's up?
I think the Wings should trade for Sam Bennett and that other center that has been playing with Florida for 5 years. They get those two players. That'll be enough. We don't need the defenseman. We've got.
Why would Florida do that? Why would Florida give up Sam Bennett and Anton Lundell?
Because Larkin doesn't have a big contract, they have to pay big money for Larkin, and he's a center, and those two are centers, so they're getting an upgrade in center, and we're getting the haul we need.
Yeah, but you're giving up, if you're Florida, I don't mind getting one of those guys. I mean, I think that makes sense, and then some other players involved there, but I don't think Florida would give up two centers to get Dylan Larkin.
Florida's looking for a goaltender also. Maybe we could give him Kosa.
Well, then are the Red Wings giving up too much to get those two players in return?
Why are they looking for a goaltender?
Because Bobrovsky is a free agent, I believe.
Is he? Free agent this season?
And they don't think they can afford to pay him.
Is it a free agent this season?
I believe so.
Wow.
I think that's a pretty good haul for the Red Wings myself.
Yeah, I mean, interesting. I know the Red Wings had to have talked with Florida. They had to have talked with Florida. And, you know, the fact that Florida pulled this trade, for Brady Tkachuk, I don't think they're trading for Dylan Larkin. I think that door probably slammed shut.
I don't know if the door slammed shut. I do think there's a way, and like how Burchie laid it out last night, I think there is a way to get it done, but I don't know if. I don't know if that's going to be appealing enough to the Red Wings now that they see what's happened here with Brady Tkachuk. Now, Tkachuk and Larkin are both guys that wanted out. Both guys that had their list of teams. Tkachuk had a list of four teams, and Larkin had a list of three teams. The difference is we didn't know about Brady Tkachuk until after the trade happened. Larkin's got leaked out, and that kind of it speeds up a timeline for sure. And I think this is something that maybe this would have been done maybe earlier had it not gotten out that Dylan Larkin wanted to be traded.
Okay, there is breaking news on the Michigan front. At this hour, Pete Thamel of ESPN sources, Michigan is working towards hiring Mike Boynton Jr. as interim coach. Per me, Jeff Borzello, and Adam Schefter, Michigan players have been told that this is the expected direction per ESPN sources. Mike Boynton Jr. has been a head coach at the collegiate level before in the Big 12 at Oklahoma State. And this feels like what you do when you lose your coach in late June. The most likely case scenario is you bump up an assistant who's been a head coach before to hold the fort down while you try to seek a permanent solution. And so that probably goes at least a step or two towards keeping that roster together. One would imagine, but we'll see how it plays itself out. In the meantime, they can continue to look for the best possible replacement for Dusty May. And if you're just joining us, breaking news this morning that he was taking the Dallas Mavericks job. 248-539-9797. TJ's in Grand Blanc. And next, hello, TJ.
How's it going, guys?
What's up?
I'm just frustrated about the Dusty May stuff, mostly because if he has interest in an NBA job, just come out and say that you have interest in an NBA job. You know, quit beating around the bush of, oh, I'm going to be back here, you know, we got to work things out, blah, blah.
just come out and say it, because save us some time, and then Michigan can get things in order. But also, what's the point of contracts anymore? Because it seems like these coaches can, and even players can, just get out of them whenever they want to. But like, to my understanding, he was still under contract until the 29-30 season, I believe, unless there was like a buyout clause in there. But then if you're Michigan, why would you even put that in his contract? So it's just frustrating as a fan, because you think you have something and then, you know, it's gone right before you know it. But it's just frustrating. I mean, poor timing, and you're under contract. So finish your contract, and well, the NBA will be there when you're done.
TJ, the one thing about what you suggested that he do, can you think of any coach under contract in college who's recruiting that also would say publicly, I'm interested in leaving for the NBA or the NFL?
Yeah, but what's worse for recruiting now, him leaving in late June or just coming out and just saying it?
Because, I'll tell you what's worse. If he came out and said it, that's way worse, because then players aren't going to commit until they know. At least this way, they committed.
How do you think
they committed. Hang on a second. At least this way, they already committed, and now Michigan's going to have a chance to retain them. Because if this story that they're hiring Boynton as the interim coach, he's probably built up a relationship with these recruits already, and you have a better chance. Maybe you don't hang on to them all, but you have a better chance.
If I was a player and Dusty told me 2 months ago he was going to be here and I committed to Michigan, and then 2 months later he's leaving, I'd be pissed.
You would be pissed. Of course you're going to be pissed. But you also would never probably have come to Michigan if he had come out and said,
there you go,
I'm thinking of going to the NBA. I'm the Michigan coach for now. Like, what you suggested, I don't know that has ever been done. That a coach talks about his next job while he's still employed at the collegiate level. TJ,
no one would do that. It's wording. You like say things like, I plan on being at the University of Michigan for the rest of my career.
Right, yes.
And you say, I plan now, on. You know what I mean? Those are the words. You verbiage. It matters.
What TJ is suggesting is noble. What you're also suggesting is, I think, unprecedented, and would undermine. He basically may as well resign, because I don't know that you're going to get players.
Well, I mean, you could return to our recruits. Well, are you for sure staying with me for 4 years? Are you not going to look in the portal? Are you not going to leave for the NBA? You know, it works both ways, and they can't guarantee that either, the player. I think everyone, when you big time athletics, you should know at this point what you're dealing with.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Bill in Farmington Hills. You're next. Hello, Bill.
How you doing, man?
What's up?
Let's play champ and chump. Chump, Ward Manuel, bar none. Guy is an absolute zero. Sat there during the cheating scandal, during the Sharon Moore scandal, when people knew this crap was going on. Now he loses a national championship coach because he doesn't nail down the details. People slamming Dusty May, that's a huge mistake. No contract is good until you get your name on the bottom line. Manuel didn't get the name on the bottom line. Now, you want to go another step? Go champ. The Florida Panthers. Zito is doing something that Eiserman will never do, and that is make a bold move. Eiserman's not making a move. We're going to have a dumpster fire of a hockey season coming up because he's going to botch this whole Dylan Larkin situation. And, you know, bottom line is we should be playing the kids to find out who can actually play. Get rid of guys like Rasmussen and Comfort and some of these other guys who are basically empty jerseys. Play the kids, find out who can play, because this is going to be a dumpster fire of a season. But kudos to the Florida Panthers, because they did something bold, and they're going to get rewarded.
Now you got one team dealing with a position of strength like Florida, because they had their bad season because they had several high-profile players that were injured, and now they're like, they can do an F&M picks move. And they just did.
They're
going to be contending for years.
Two organizations in very different places.
Yeah.
And as far as playing the kids, last year when they were going for the playoffs, they were doing everything they could. I'm not sure they could have been playing the kids. As for Ward and Ward's culpability in the May contract situation, I think it's important. Well, I'm going to wait to see details. I think it's important to know exactly why that contract didn't get signed, that they both stated publicly had been agreed upon. And you're right. It doesn't matter until it's signed. But given the fact that he was already under contract and broke that contract, maybe he would have broke the new one too. 248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback. It's Carson Anderson. Champ and Chump, get your votes in here on 97.1. All right, Mondays, Champ and Chump, get those votes in. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Paul next on 97.1. Hello, Paul.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Oh, am I on?
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, thanks for having me. It was breaking up there. Two things. You know, the Dusty May, you know, I talked to the call screener. Brad Galley had an interview with him on May 28th. All right. And in that interview, he said that he had an extension. He was grateful for it. Anytime they want, someone wants to keep you, you should feel good. But it was for no additional money. And he is listed as the third highest paid coach in the Big Ten. So, I mean, if you listen to what he said in an interview with his own words, his extension was just a additional years, but at the same dollars, at least according to him, or the way it, you know, the way he phrased it. And if that's the case, and he was not offered the ability to be the highest paid head coach in the Big Ten, then yeah, that's a failure, in my opinion, on the AD. And I'm like you, right? You got to wait to see what comes out. But that interview spoke volumes. And I, at the time, I was like, okay, really? No additional money?
Paul, I find it hard to believe he would agree to that.
Well, I listen, watch the interview.
Yeah, I will. I'll go back and see it.
In his own words. And then in terms of a coach, right, I understand what they're doing with this guy. That's awesome. You know, whatever. There's a guy, the coach for St. Louis, Josh Schertz.
Yeah.
Okay? He's very, very, very – he is an extremely good friend of Dusty.
Yep.
He runs the same system. They do all the same stuff. I don't run an athletic department, okay? But that dude would be on frickin' speed dial, and I would be asking Dusty May for his assistance in making that happen if I'm going to bring in a guy that is very similar. And, you know, I mean, I give credit. I mean, this ain't – I mean, I read this stuff, you know, from some other people who are in the know, but, like, this guy is, like Dusty, extremely well-liked by his players, extremely well-liked by everybody around the program. And to me,
I would imagine that Josh Schertz would be on a short list of people that they would want to contact. And
it should be on an unbelievably short list.
And if Ward Manuel is making that decision, Ward Manuel will see a candidate that if he is as tight with Dusty May as all the reporting was when they met with each other, when they met in the NCAA tournament, Michigan and St. Louis, then I feel like he'd be interviewing a guy that he would recognize as another Dusty May. And it would feel like that would be another hire that you would want to make. As far as the contract is concerned, yeah. If there's no additional money, that feels like a vulnerability. Also, it would be stunning to me that May would have agreed to that. But I'll go back and find that during a commercial break. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Mark in Lansing. You're next. Hello, Mark.
How you doing, Doug? Long time.
What's up?
A couple things. One, I've known Dusty May since his days at Eastern Michigan. He's brilliant as a coach, and I know the reason why he did not sign that contract were twofold. One, based on him being Dusty, which is you don't sign the contract just when you know you got one foot out the door, and then have to explain why you're leaving. So that was the personal reason why he didn't sign the contract.
What?
But the practical.
So you're saying he had one foot out the door, meaning?
Well, he was. Now, strike that. He was looking. He was entertaining offers from the NBA. Okay. That's what I meant by that.
Okay.
All right. Not that he was running from Michigan. Two, when you sign a new contract, it comes with different conditions and different terms.
I would imagine, I have not seen the terms of this actual contract, but typically when it comes to these contracts, they're buyouts. If they're going to pay, and they were going to pay Dusty more money, if they're going to pay Dusty more money, and not only pay him more money, but also provide more money for his assistants, if they're going to do that, then there's going to be a consequence of that, which typically is a buy, which is typically referred to as a buyout. There would be no point in him signing a new contract with a higher buyout if he knows if that he might be leaving. That's right.
And you said,
it's all right there.
You're saying right. that you know it was for more money.
Yes. Well, more money in terms of salary, more money for him, and then more money also for his assistants.
Well, look, yeah.
Than what he was making under his current.
On face value, certainly. I mean, what you described as a scenario, Mark, that could make sense, right? I mean, if we trust you, it's a scenario that makes sense. I've known you for a long time. Like, and so I'm not disputing it. It's important to file away that all this warrants further investigation. Matt Norlander, who covers college basketball, says, I spoke with a source close to Dusty May. It is the college environment that is pushing him to this decision, which is what I heard from a source as well earlier today that I reported on the air, which feels weird to me, if only because Dusty May, I'm not going to say he mastered it, but he really adapted well to the new college sports environment.
But he flourished.
248-539-9797.
See, I agree with that caller, Doug. Like, I just logically speaking, not knowing any inside information or anything like that, right? Logically speaking, it's weird to blame the machine when you were really good at the machine, so good you won a national title.
Yep.
Okay, and that doesn't mean you can still not like it.
You can still not like it, but both could be true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the machine was working for Dusty May
very well in 2 years here at Michigan, right? And then the other thing is, you keep asking, why wasn't that extension signed? From all we know publicly, both sides had agreed to an extension, right? But it was not signed yet. Why wasn't it signed? Well, to me, just thinking logically, is you're entertaining going on to another job, which is the NBA. And the reason why you don't sign that is, he's right. If the buyout's enormous, it
could be bigger.
You cannot sign that yet. You got to make sure you're coming back before you sign that, because that buyout, we think he's going to get more salary, which means the buyout will be bigger. That's just all makes sense to me, why you wouldn't sign it yet.
I'm not saying it's true,
but that would make sense to me.
It makes sense. All the sense in the world to me that somebody could be disappointed with how college athletics is going. And you're tired of it and you want to get out of it. I don't have any problem with that. It also makes sense to me that, you know, you're 50 years old, you have a dream of coaching the NBA, and you want to entertain that. And you've got some people that are reaching out to you, and you've got this contract extension here with Michigan. I'd have to believe it's for more money. There's no way that you're going to just take another 4 years on a deal at the same money. It's not going to happen, not after you have the leverage of winning a national championship. So understand that the average coach in the NBA makes about, the average contract is like $8 million a year. And you start looking down the list of coaches, and Doc Rivers is making $11 million, was making $11 million. Tyronn Lue is $15 million with the Clippers. I would imagine Dusty May is going to make somewhere in the $10 million range, if not more. That's going to be twice as much as what he was getting. So he can say that I'm tired of the rat race that is college basketball, and you know it's a drain. But it's so much easier also to then you'll see the result is, oh, I doubled my salary. I already make a great salary. Now I'm doubling that. I mean, come on.
It's
too thin.
You might not want to say.
Both be true.
Yeah, just I'm going for the money.
Yeah, you can't. Nobody likes to hear that.
Yep.
So you preface it by, oh, I'm just, you know, college basketball. Look, really,
we're speculating on a bunch of stuff here, but. You know, a lot of these things.
True. Obviously, I mean, money is huge, and you could also be upset with how college basketball is going.
Mm-hmm. And if this leads to, because I'm seeing a lot now of people like college sports sucks now and all that. They need guardrails. Just keep this in mind. And we talked about this earlier. Any change you make to the rules in college football, college basketball, and all college athletics has to be defendable in a court of law. And do you realize how tough that is? We just had a player win a case that allowed him to play after gambling on games, including ones that his team was playing from his time at Indiana when he wasn't playing, but he was on the team. If that lost in the court of law, do you know how hard it is going to be to put rules in place and guardrails in place to dramatically change and limit things like transfers or NIL money or anything like that? The only way that is likely to happen is if college athletes are unionized and there's collective bargaining.
Yes. Another note on the John Schertz, the coach at St. Louis that
yes.
wanted to be on speed dial and all that. He just signed a 6-year
extension. Did he sign it or did he just agree to
no,
it?
No, I believe he signed. Yeah, right. So I don't know what the buyout is. Although there's a story that talks about it, but it'd be interesting. This is from a Twitter story. It says, interesting that the buyout for Schertz's new deal is described as somewhat manageable. Clearly a deal that gives him flexibility for the future. Also clear, given the opportunity Schertz has turned down, that he really likes it at St. Louis University and he's bought it.
See, the one thing about St. Louis, and this is a real thing, okay? St. Louis, Gonzaga, schools that the number one sport is men's basketball, they don't have to fight with football for NIL money.
No, and that was one of the things that I guess Schertz explained when he agreed to his deal. He's like, we have a great structure here, including NIL structure.
I am predicting schools that don't have football to play Division I basketball could be in for a real, real good time here soon. Because they don't have to compete with football for NIL money. Now, they don't bring in the money, but they're the big dog on their campus.
Well, these crap conferences are going to have to schedule some better teams.
Carson Anderson, 97.1. Doug Carsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Open lines, 248-539-9797. We are sifting through, members of the staff, sifting through the Brad Galley interview with Dusty May from a couple months ago because we couldn't watch it during a commercial break because it's like 15 minutes long. but we'll let you know what was said there that might be interesting. In the meantime, yeah, a lot of reaction coming into this. I have heard from a source and others that Dusty May is saying it's the state of college athletics that's driving him out, which is, it's just, it may be what he's telling people and it may be what he believes. I guess it can be true that a guy who really seemed to master the new world of college athletics when it comes to the portal and NIL is being driven out by something that helped carry him to a national championship. Now, if his dream was always to coach in the NBA and, you know, that's his personal deal, or if it's, you know, obviously an incredibly incredible raise in terms of the amount of money and what the NBA can afford and what college, you know, basketball and athletic departments can afford, because there is a budget and you can go over budget to a degree, but there's operating costs. And in the new world, every dollar that doesn't get spent towards players, well, that's not completely true. There's a rev share cap, but facilities are a big deal and all that stuff that goes with. It'd be interesting to see when all the reporting on this is out. I'm kind of holding off on a judgment here. Oh, but here's what is true. Sucks for Michigan. Sucks for Michigan basketball. 248-539-9797. Anything else to add before we get back to the phones?
Nope.
All right. Let's go to Bridge in Farmington Hills. You're next. Hello, Bridge.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, I have a champ and a chump, but a quick comment on Dusty May. People putting blame on, you know, for not having the contract not signed and stuff, I don't think that would have made a big difference. You know, the worst thing would happen is that'd be a buyout, $5 million buyout. But, you know, I'm sure the Mavericks can afford $5 million if they're going to pay him $50 for the coach, you know. But anyway, so what I want to talk about is the champ. My champ is Wyndham Clark. He won under tough conditions, went wire to wire, tough competition, tough course, and had a great day. I mean, well, great in the sense that he was the best out there. My champ is the U.S. Open.
Your champ or your chump? Your chump?
Chump. Okay. Chump, the U.S. Open. All right. Champ is the Clark, Wyndham Clark. And the chump is U.S. Open because they make these courses so tough. I mean, I can understand. You know, I don't want people, the first 40 players shooting 20 under par, you know, in the first 2 days. But you can make them tough. But this was ridiculous. I mean, if you're 5 inches short of a hump on the green, you roll back 50 feet. And if you're 6 inches past the hump on the other side of the hole, you go past the green 50 feet. And it's, I don't know if that's skill or just a crapshoot. So it's just making it impossible. It's like watching a football game end with a 3-2 score. And not because they were great defenses, but because there were fumbles and offsides and drop passes and stuff like that. So that's my jump. I wish they'd do something about that. They always do that.
So, Scott, you put on your show sheet, you got mad at the layout or the setup at Shinnecock Hill.
Yeah, I hate the way the greens are there for the same reason that Bridge was talking about. I mean, it's a real balancing act. And is it skill? Is it luck? It's both. I mean, obviously, you have to have the skill to be able to, because you know, you're playing enough rounds there where by the final round, you know that there are only certain flat parts on those greens and you have to hit a very small target to get it there. At the same time, it also feels like there's a tremendous amount of luck because the wind is howling off the ocean there. And I don't know. It's not, that style of course is not my cup of tea. I don't love that style of course. You know, more of that link style. It's more like a European type course with that. And, you know, they grow out the rough just to be as punitive as they can. And you know, I get it. They want it to be the toughest course conditions you can be. And it's a real testament to who the best golfer in the world might be at that time. And that's great. But I still want to see guys go out there and be able to score. And you see some great shots. There's no question you see some great shots. But they're overshadowed by these shots that look like they're great, and then they're not because they just continue to roll and roll and roll and roll, and then you find yourselves 100 yards away from the hole on a shot where you started off 150 yards away from the hole. It's just, some of it's fine and entertaining, but for the most part, I do not like how that course was setting up.
Yeah, it's a different challenge, that's for sure, and I don't want everything to look the same and be the same. So I guess I didn't mind it, but...
Look, I mean, one of the players ended up, I forget who it was. It was the guy that shot 70 all four rounds, but I believe he had a 41 on the front nine and came back with a 29 on the back. I mean, that's
right.
Wildly different. That was in the first round. You think you're on your way out shooting a 41, and the next thing you know, you bring it back in 29. He did something right to shoot a 29.
Well, didn't DJ go from like leading or being close to leading to missing the cut with 3 bad holes on day two?
Yeah.
248-539-9797. Joe is in Grosseal. And next, hello, Joe.
Hi, guys. Well, along those lines, my champ is also Wyndham Clark for not only overcoming all of his challenges at the past U.S. Open, and he owned his mistakes, but for beating the best golf course in the country. The way they had it set up was impossible. To shoot 4 under par is a phenomenal feat for him. And my chumps are anybody who is not being honest with themselves, who 2 years ago wouldn't have said, will you take a coach with a program that's in shambles, who in 2 years will win you a national championship, and then he's going to be off and on his way to the NBA, you would have said, sign me up in a heartbeat. So for people that are claiming to be upset with Ward Manuel or Dusty May, you know what? What he did was phenomenal. I didn't see that coming. I didn't see this last move coming either, but just be grateful for what he did and hope that the next guy can do something similar.
Yeah, I mean, look, some of the calls we've gotten, some of the criticisms that are more steeped in about the timing and how the timing really is less than optimal for Michigan, it brought up some really good points. But overall, yeah, I mean, I feel guilty telling people what to do with their lives. And for a Michigan fan, and understandably so, the most important job to you in the world of basketball is the head coach at the University of Michigan. And that should be how you feel. And Michigan State fans and everybody, if you're a fan of a program, it's okay to believe that your program, the head coaching job at your program, is the most important job to you in the world. And then with somebody else who has, it's in it for the profession, you also have to understand that might not be the case for them. They may love the school and the job and all of that, but their dreams might be different than your dreams. And who are we and anyone to tell somebody, you have to have the same agenda as me? And really, that's true in a lot of walks of life. It applies to non-sports issues as well. Now, you can talk about commitment and you can talk about loyalty, but you can also talk about in a contract that has a buyout, that means there's a mechanism in there for someone to leave the job.
Mm-hmm.
And that mechanism is put in place and can get triggered. And both sides agreed to said mechanism. And now a buyout will have to be paid. But that means that both sides agree to a contract where the door is left open for that person to leave.
Well, in this case, the door was left open because he didn't sign.
Well, he was under contract and they had a new contract that had been verbally agreed to. And by the way, did we confirm in the Brad Galley interview, Bobby listened to the whole thing. Did he say, sorry to cut you off guard there, Bobby, did he say it was for no money, that his contract agreement was for no money?
He didn't explicitly say that. He kind of said in general, if you receive a contract extension, even if there's no money involved, that it's appreciated that the extension happened.
So he didn't say that there was.
I mean, this is University of Michigan. You're not winning a national championship and not upping your salary.
People just flipping the radio, and we had a caller say that he said it was for no money. But, you know, that's an interesting way to put it.
Doesn't matter anymore.
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Anyway, so people are going to get mad, and that's fine. But would you like it if somebody told you what career advancements you're allowed to take and which ones you're not? It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.